Good morning again. I know it's hard to focus. We'll see how we can go. This is the second in our series, which is called And Help Others. And the idea of this is that our own faith will only grow if it doesn't just stay inside us, but flows out into affecting other people's lives. And that's the way God has intended our faith to be. And this morning we're looking at belonging and helping others belong. Go.
I have a feeling people won't concentrate very well if you don't know how Nolene's going. So she appears to be okay. She was unsettled and unsure of where she was, but things seem to be settling down. Okay, so she's also in good hands. All right, thanks.
Can you think of a time where you felt like you didn't belong? Have a think about that for a minute. What did it feel like? I spent my teenage years in the cutthroat world of a girls' private school. To make it worse, I had very few of the assets that you need to get along well and fit in and belong in a girls' private school. I was taller than most. I had glasses and hair that did what it wanted. I was hopeless at sport. I was uncoordinated. The things I were good at were not really, you know, I was good at speaking in public, not cool. I was good at playing the violin, even less cool. And I really didn't have much social capital to work with. I also made some bad decisions about who I should be friends with. I don't even understand why, but I was kind of desperate to climb up the social ladder and to be friends with people who were more popular than me. And so I hung around with this group of girls who were, look, they were lovely, good-hearted girls, and they were fun. They were the kind of girls who didn't even need to be mean because they could be cool without even trying. And, look, they included me in some things. They were happy for me to hang around. They often told me I was cute. Wasn't quite sure what that meant. But somehow I just knew that I didn't really belong. I didn't belong in this group. And the feeling was that if I didn't turn up, they wouldn't miss me. And that knowledge hurt me. I wanted to be someone who was missed. There's a very strong consensus in social science and even in our world at large that we all have this universal need to belong. Much of what we do is about trying to belong. Our human needs, things like power and intimacy and achievement and accomplishment, all those things are driven by our need to belong. And even people who say they don't need anyone else, who push others away, they're reacting to whatever their complex feelings are about the need to belong. So we're compelled and we're conditioned by the pressure to belong, even though, ironically, the world around us operates as though we are essentially individuals and belonging and community is just something we add in to make life a bit nicer. The knowledge that we belong feels good, and the knowledge that we don't belong can feel devastating. Brené Brown puts it like this: we are biologically, so in ourselves, cognitively, our brains, physically, our bodies, spiritually, our hearts and our souls, wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. And when those needs are not met, we don't function as we were meant to. We break, we fall apart. We numb, we ache, we hurt others, we get sick. We'll just pause here, I think, and yep. Sometimes it takes something bad to realise that we belong together and we hurt when others hurt. Let's pray again for Nolene, shall we? Lord, we know that you hold Nolene in your arms. We know that you go with her in that ambulance. We ask that she would know very strongly that you are present. And we ask that for Bob as well. Give those who are with her wisdom and skill. May you be present and working in everything that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have this urge to belong. Is this just kind of a reaction to the broken, needy world that we belong to? I don't think it is. I think it's something more than that. I believe that God has placed the desire to belong within us. And although sometimes that can play out in twisted, unhealthy kinds of ways, the need to belong, the joy of belonging, comes to us from God. How do I know this? Because the whole story, the whole biblical narrative leads to the final ending of us belonging to God. God so longs to have us belong that he made way through Jesus at great cost to himself. His ultimate plan is for us to belong to him. Let's have a look at a passage which might help us understand this a bit more. A well-known passage and a beautiful one. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. If you've been a Christian for a while, you might know the version of this that says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And that is a good representation of what the Greek words actually are here. They're the same word, and John's kind of making a little play, but he's also giving us that message. He's saying, "I love you, love one another. My loved ones, let us love." Now, John's got three parts to what he's saying here. He's trying to convince us why we should love one another. And the first thing he says is, God is love. We know this, don't we, in our heads, but sometimes we just need to stop and sit in that, because it's a bit beyond what our brains can comprehend. God not only loves, he is love in his very nature, in his very being. He is everlasting, steadfast love. And that will never change, because who God is not going to change. Now, how can God be love all on his own? Well, God's kind of not all on his own. God is a community of persons, three persons who exist in love so deep that they are one together. And John says, if you don't love other people, it's very hard to see how you know anything of God. It's kind of like saying, oh, this person is my best friend, but they're German and I don't speak German. How can I really know that person if I don't understand the language that they communicate in? The second part of why we should love each other is because God has shown his love to us in sending Jesus. So John's moving from abstract truth, God is love, to concrete fact, God sent Jesus. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's demonstrated his love to us in an incredible way. Out of love, he has given himself. In coming to earth, living among us, dying for us, he shows his love for us even before we loved him. And the third reason why we should love others is somewhat mind-blowing, I feel. Let me read it again. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. His love is made complete in us. A bit boggling, do you think? I don't think here it's saying that God's love is not perfect or is not complete in itself, but it's talking about how God's love reaches people. Here are some other ways that it's been expressed. His love is brought to full expression in us, or his love is perfected in us. Once again, that's not saying that God's love is not perfect. In fact, perfect, the way we tend to use it, means flawless, but here in the Bible it means complete, finished. Another Bible puts it, God's love has reached its goal. It's done what it's meant to do once we have loved. It's accomplished its mission through us. John Stott says, it would be hard to exaggerate the greatness of this idea, but we must not stagger at the majesty of the conclusion. We are God's physical presence. That's why it says no one has ever seen God, but if we love, then God can be seen. God's love is made complete in us. What a weighty honour to bear. Now, you might have noticed I'm connecting the dots between being loved and belonging. This passage doesn't mention belonging, but love is at the centre and the root of belonging. One flows from the other. Belonging is more than inclusion, isn't it? Inclusion, it sort of says, if you turn up, we'll make room for you. But belonging says, if you don't turn up, we'll go out and look for you and bring you back. Much belonging in this world is conditional belonging. So you may belong because you fit the criteria of the group in some way, but if that changes, then the belonging is withdrawn. If you injure your knee, you're probably not welcome at the tennis club anymore. You can't play tennis. If your political views become more left, you probably won't remain a member of the Liberal Party. If your friendship groups shift around you and things change, you might find yourself on the outside. But the deep truth of the family of God is that belonging depends on only one thing, and that is belonging to Jesus. And we can rely on this never changing, can't we? We will always belong to Jesus, and if we belong to Jesus, we belong to each other. And that's why the Bible talks more about the church as family than as friends. We're friends because we like each other, because we have things in common, because we happen to do things together. But the only reason you're family is because you share the same parents. And some people feel that's all they've got in common with their family. But you can't change that. That won't change whether we like it or not. We belong together because we have the same parents. The same parent, God the Father. Now, the New Testament churches were the first to kind of have to grapple with this. And they were living in a society where you didn't speak to anyone who wasn't in your social class or the same status as you. And there were lots of levels. So it was actually kind of outrageously new for a group of people from all different classes to come together and to be a group. It was also rather painfully messy in some circumstances. And we can see all the way through Paul's letters, he's kind of working with the people with this. He's saying, be aware of the fact that you are all one together. And it pops up everywhere, but maybe the most well-known one is this in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So for Paul, he's picked the three big issues of his day to make his point. And we probably don't relate a great deal to Jew and Gentile. That's not part of our everyday life. It's not a practical division. Much the same with slave and free. I think we can probably hang on to male and female a bit longer. Got some work to do there. But we could choose anything which divides us today and put that into the passage. There is neither vegan nor meat eater. There is neither left wing nor right wing. There is neither white nor of colour. There is neither educated nor uneducated. There is either neither vaccinated nor unvaccinated. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This is the one and only thing we need to have a like to belong to God's family. And the bigger part that this plays in our identity, then the more alike we will actually have, the more we'll be in common with other Christians. But it's so easy to slip back into that conditional kind of belonging, to have unspoken rules about the conditions to which we can belong. I was listening to a podcast and the speaker said, the average church in the US is 4 times more segregated by colour than the neighbourhood it resides in. In evangelical churches, the experience of Christians of colour reveal that our churches reflect the world more than they reflect Christ. And before we say, oh yes, only in America, never think of our Australian churches and how culturally diverse they are, and whether they compare to the neighbourhoods they're in. We have to resist conditional belonging in every way that we can. So how can we begin to help others belong? Well, it takes real deliberate effort, doesn't it, to reach across boundaries that seem to hold us back, to help people who are not like us to belong. Few of us find it easy or natural. I certainly don't. But I've noticed a few things over the years, and so I put them out there in the hope that they will be helpful. I have found that boundaries are always less threatening once you've crossed them. Once you've actually had the courage to step over, you find it wasn't the big deal I thought it was. And this, I usually have more in common with someone than I initially think I will. Have you found that? At a distance, I think our differences stand out more and the things that we're alike are not as easily seen. Plus, add on our own perceptions onto the top of that. My friend Charity, who is comes from Kenya, she told me that all Kenyans can actually speak good English when they arrive in Australia. And in fact, that's true for most African countries. Now, I didn't know that, and when I saw someone on the bus who looked like they came from an African country, I would assume that perhaps they couldn't really talk to me. And that was just my ignorance and my perception. But I was wrong. Here's another one. Our gut human instinct to say nothing and do nothing in case we offend is almost always the wrong instinct. And you probably know this if you've ever been on the other side of that. Most people would rather that we just had a go and spoke to them. I have to keep telling myself, no one ever died of awkwardness. I used to avert my eyes in public when I saw a disabled person. And the reason for that was not that I couldn't handle them, but because I really didn't want them to think that I was staring at them. So I'd almost go the opposite so that they wouldn't feel stared at. And then I heard someone interviewed on the radio just describing how awful they felt when someone's eyes kind of slid away, people averted their eyes. Once again, I was wrong. I made the wrong assumptions. Even for the right, you know, for concern for them, I did something that was actually hurtful. Some boundaries are just really difficult to cross, aren't they? And sometimes that's more about personality than it is about culture or background. Some people are harder to love. Some people are demanding. Some people require, need more time and effort. We tend to think there's two answers to this, either to exclude that person for some reason we might justify, or to give ourselves till we've worn ourselves out. And here's the advantage of being part of a community of belonging. Neither of those are good options. If there's someone that we need to love well to enable them to belong, we need to share that belonging between us. And in that way, no one has that deep responsibility and gets worn out. And here at Unley Park, we have ways of people who can step in and help us with that sharing the belonging. I think belonging is a process. You don't instantly walk into a group and boom, you belong, do you? So that we almost expect to not belong at first, but we want to kind of get a feel as to whether we might potentially be able to belong to this group. And as people who want to help others belong, we need to begin with welcome. Welcome is not belonging, but welcome is the place to start. It's putting the potential of belonging in play, if you want to put it like that. Welcome on its own is not enough. What will follow from that is acceptance. Now, we can kind of put acceptance into our welcoming, but if we don't know the person, they're likely to feel, oh, but if you knew who I was, you wouldn't accept me. So it takes a while to get to know someone and to show them that they are accepted for who they are. People need to know that the only identity which matters in belonging to us is whether they belong to Jesus. But even welcome and acceptance only gets us to inclusion. You know, if you turn up, we'll make room for you. The thing that makes true belonging is shared life. What makes for belonging is sharing life together, in learning from each other, in being changed by each other. And that takes commitment and that takes time. Now, it is Growth Group Sunday, so you knew I was going to get here, didn't you? The way most of our lives are shaped, it's difficult to regularly share life with other people. It just feels like it would be more efficient and straightforward to just worry about ourselves, our families, and get on with life. But that's not what God wants for us, and it's not actually how we're going to thrive. We want to share life with others. You could decide, okay, I'm going to go on a campaign of meeting everyone in the church. I'm going to invite lots and lots of people for lunch. I'm going to go out and have coffee. I'm going to make sure I speak to 5 new people every Sunday. Or you could just join a growth group. It's a lot easier. Growth groups are a deliberate way of sharing life together regularly and building belonging for each other, as well as growing in faith. And we all know that there's a limit to Sundays, isn't there? We can talk to each other, but it's not the same as sitting down together, reading God's word, praying together, sharing our lives. And you might be able to choose your group, but you can't handpick the people who come along. So there's plenty of opportunity to cross boundaries in a growth group. You might only initially meet half a dozen to a dozen people, but what I'd love to see in the group's ministry here at Unley Park is a group that groups that are changing and flowing and growing, and as time goes on, we'll actually know each other more and more across the whole congregation. And that's already starting to happen, which is really exciting. One quote I came across this week particularly struck me. See what you think of it. Being loved and befriended does something for you that rights and choice cannot possibly do. It brings you the invaluable experience of being chosen by someone else. Whatever rights and choice can do, they cannot make me your friend. Whatever rights and choice can do, they cannot make me your friend. Now, the writer here is using the language of friends, but he's really talking about belonging, isn't he? The point is, no one can make themselves belong. We all count on other people for our belonging. Belonging is something that has to be offered by someone else. And if it's not offered, there's nothing the person who wants to belong can do about it. So you see, it's completely up to us as to whether people belong here at Unley Park. If we don't do it, other people can't belong. We hold the keys, and it's only us who can bring that love of God to fulfillment, to completion. Can we possibly say, no thanks, that's too hard? When I look back now on my high school days, I can actually see what the problem was. My group were offering me inclusion, but they weren't offering me belonging, and that's what I wanted. I don't know why they didn't offer me belonging, but there was nothing I could do. I could only accept what they offered me. But in year 12, my parents decided to move churches. And for the very first time, and very quickly, I actually felt like I belonged. I was warmly welcomed. I was invited to come along to youth group. I was invited to play my violin the same night. So we went Sunday morning. I was in the band on Sunday night. I went to this group where I found young people who were genuinely excited about God and genuinely interested in getting to know me. They didn't care if I was hopeless at sport. They didn't care if I was a brain. And they actually liked me playing the violin. My faith took a steep up curve as a result of that. And my whole life improved out of sight from that time. And also might have met a nice boy with blue eyes and a gorgeous smile. But that's another story. I was offered belonging. And since then, it's been my aim and my goal to offer belonging to everyone that I come across. And so that's the challenge that I want to bring to you today. This church is pretty good at belonging, but I reckon we can be even better. And it's when we cross those boundaries that look threatening, but once you step over, you see that it wasn't anything to worry about. I don't know if there's anything that's particularly stuck out to you about what I've said this morning, but I want to give us just a moment to pause, to reflect, and then I'm going to pray. Our loving Father, your whole ultimate plan for us and for the world is for us to belong to you. Thank you for placing belonging in us as part of our nature, and we pray that you would grow that in us and that you would give us the courage, give us the confidence to reach out and to help others belong as well. Not just because they are like us or we have something in common, but because we are part of the same family. We have the same parents. We belong to you. And so therefore we belong to each other. Lord, whatever each person here needs in order to grow in belonging, I pray that you would bring that to their attention today. Show us where we need to grow. Show us new ways to follow you. Thank you that we will always belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.